You listen to Buckets Radio 104.1 FM, your voice in Gloucester. And today we have Mr. David Kelly from AGL on the line. And David's going to tell us a little bit about the gas project that's going on up here in Gloucester. And the community's got a few questions for David. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you? And thank you for the invitation to come on your program this morning.
And thank you for accepting it, David. There's been a community newsletter come out here in Gloucester just recently. And, well, I suppose it's a talk on everybody's lips at the moment. Quite a few people are very interested in what's happening with the Gloucester gas project. There's a lot of concerns up here about the effect that it's going to have on the valley, and you mentioned that in the community newsletter that stage one is to be about 110 wells. Could you give us an idea of what the final amount of wells will be at the end of your putting wells in, when they've got up to the final amount that they need to make this economically viable?
Yes, Bruce. Look, the approved stage one of the Gloucester gas project is the only stage currently approved, and that's for up to 110 wells. I could also add that includes a pipeline to Newcastle, as well as the gas plant and associated power generation facility, which is obviously a much needed facility in the Gloucester area. I mean, I can also say that the Gloucester gas project is really about ensuring affordable gas supply for New South Wales families and businesses going forwards. There's about half the people in New South Wales rely on natural gas in their daily lives to cook their dinners, to heat their homes or for their businesses.
Yes, that's right.
At least 5% of that gas is actually generated within New South Wales. So we need to fill that gap, and that's really why we are pursuing this project.
Right, well, yes, the 5% that AGL is supplying New South Wales comes from your Camden gas fields down there, and we're currently supplied from Queensland, Western Australia and Victoria. You mentioned in there that we're going to be facing a gas supply shortage in 2017, but I think that's sort of due to one of the contracts running out in 2017 rather than any particular gas supply running out.
The issue around the 2017 deadline is around contracts, but it's also around supply. You mentioned that gas presently comes from Western Australia. It actually comes from the South Australia, Victoria and Queensland. But again, New South Wales will face a critical gas shortage from 2017 onwards, which is again why the state needs to develop its own natural gas supply network.
Well, what would cause that shortage, David?
Well, you previously mentioned contracts, but it's also about the fact that you know, a lot of gas in Australia is now going offshore, which again, in states like Queensland, where there's lots of coal seam gas being produced, the vast majority of that gas is going offshore in the form of LNG from places such as Gladstone on the Queensland coast.
Right, okay. Yes, look, point taken on that. With so much gas being exported, it doesn't necessarily point that it's an essential to take the gas from the Gloucester region, because there's so much other gas available in Australia. It's more of a commercial concern for AGC rather than an actual energy resource problem?
Well, I mean, that's an easy conclusion to reach. One of the issues with the resource industry, of course, is that resources can only be worked where they're found, which is why the Gloucester Gas Project is essential about, you know, ensuring the affordable gas supply for the state of New South Wales moving forwards.
Right, okay. Well, on the point of gas and Gloucester, will AGL be actually supplying gas to the residents of the Gloucester and the Gloucester Valley?
Look, that's an issue that Gloucester Shire Council has actually raised with AGL, and it's one that we are currently looking at. Whilst we don't have the answers yet, it's certainly something which we are examining.
Well, this is a question that's actually been asked of AGL since the first community meetings that were held a number of years ago. It's not a new question, and the community feels like it's a real slap in the face that you're going to take the gas out of this ground. They feel that there's a danger in that, in the environmental danger and stuff like that, yet that we're not going to get the benefits of that gas. And yet you get prepared to pipe it 100 kilometres or so to a freezing facility down at Port Stephens or near Newcastle, but you're not prepared to supply the very good people of Gloucester.
As I previously said, the gas currently is proposed to be taken to the main New South Wales network at Hexham there in Newcastle, where it'll enter the main supply. But as I said, Gloucester Council have recently asked us to look at this issue of supplying the township of Gloucester, and it's one that we are happy to look at and are currently doing so.
Right. Look, would we be able to get an update on that? When can we get an update on that? Would you be able to update us on that before you actually start producing gas or before you start getting into the next stage?
Bruce would be very happy to keep you updated on that as the issue progresses, of course.
Right, OK. Look, is AGL going to frack in Gloucester?
The exploration pilot program with Wakaiwiri, which we have recently commenced, it is proposed that two of those wells will be fracture stimulated. You may recently have heard about the New South Wales Strategic Land Use Policy, whereby the New South Wales Government have introduced about 27 new key pieces of legislation and policy in regards to the coal seam gas and mining industry. You know, one of those 27 issues was a new code of practice for fracture stimulation in the natural gas industry. So whilst we don't currently have approval for fracture stimulation on those two exploration wells, we will be seeking approval under that new code of conduct. What I can tell you, that is probably the most rigorous piece of legislation anywhere in Australia in regards to fracture stimulation, if not in the world. Now, in regards to the stage one development, which is the 110 production wells that I referred to also at the start of our conversation, the approval given by the New South Wales Government does include fracture stimulation, but any such fracture stimulation will also have to be in accordance with the new code of practice.
Right, OK. There's a grave concern about the fracturing up here in Gloucester in regards to some incidents that happened down at Stratford in the early days when Lucas and Malopo were doing their exploration. There was concern about open wellbores being, gas and water being blown out of three open wellbores that were up to a few hundred metres away. Are you aware of how many open boreholes are here in the valley?
Look, that was certainly a consideration of the EIS and the Environmental Impact Assessment for the Gloucester Gas Project. I'm not aware of the overall number to hand, but I can certainly find out that information that we have and come back to you on that. We can't talk for previous operators of the exploration licence either, as you would understand.
Oh, well, no, but you did take over the Lucas Malopo investment, so you should be fully aware of what did happen, and I'm referring to the CM Atkinson report of a number of years ago.
Well, whilst I'm not aware of the exact number of holes that are currently sitting now, I can tell you that there is a condition of consent on the major project approval given by the Planning Assessment Commission to address that very matter.
Right, OK. There was a number of holes down on, down towards a little bit south of Wards River, which were filled about a year ago. There was a number of holes on one property alone of 43 holes, some of them up to 12 inches round and 160 to 300 metres deep, that had been left there for quite some time, and the Department of Mine Safety indicated that they needed to be filled and put an order on Gloucester Coal to have those filled. I'm not too sure if AGL was involved in that or not.
I don't believe we were, Bruce.
Look, another concern is the drilling. We're going to have 24-hour-a-day drilling.
Sorry, is that for the current Wakaiwiri exploration project, Bruce?
Yes.
Yes, that's correct. Drilling operations have commenced and they will go for 24 hours a day, correct.
So that's 24 hours a day and you're going to be drilling four wells and that's going to take approximately 1 month.
Works. The sites have been designed with noise walls and appropriate bunding in place. And of course, if any of the local community have any complaints or any issues to raise, we'll be very happy to receive them. The guys can be contacted, the Gloucester team can be contacted at our Gloucester office in Tate Street, or I have a number here that I can give to you for people to call and speak to us about any aspect of that operation if you'd like.
Well, we do have Tony Laurie and Therese Ryan here in Gloucester at AGL, and that's how I managed to get through to you today. So thank you very much, Therese, for getting me through for that. So, yes, we can contact AGL down here. But, look, a big concern is that there's going to be quite likely in the tune of 600 to 1,000 wells here in Gloucester over the time. Now, that means that we're going to be getting somewhere between, 300 and 600 weeks of 24-hour-a-day drilling. Yeah, but
no
that
further approvals for any more than that.
Well, the economic viability of 110 wells, I believe that AGL doesn't find that that's an economical a prospect here in Gloucester, and there needs to be at least in the tune of 200 or more wells to even be to hit economic viability.
Now, as I said previously, we only have approval for stage one. Subsequent stages will require a separate approval. We estimate that there could be, another 100 to 200 wells, but they don't have approval yet, Bruce, and we're obviously required to follow the new state government approvals process to obtain permission for those wells, if that is determined by the state government.
Would you feel that stage two, stage three, stage four, etc., would be approved under the Part 3A planning process?
No,
attached to stage one.
My understanding is the Part 3A planning process has now been revoked and is being replaced by the state significant development process under the new government.
Yes, but this initial project was passed under the Part 3A?
Stage one was passed under the Part 3A, that's correct. But it's my understanding that any future stages of this project would have to progress through the SSD regime, the state significant development regime now in place.
So, in effect, they would be a new project rather than an extension of the existing project?
That is my understanding, that it would need new approvals for any future and subsequent stages of the Gloucester Gas Project.
Right, OK. Look, another thing, David, is the aerial survey that's going to be going on. I believe that you're only going to be giving just a few days' notice to people about this aerial survey.
Is that the AeroMag survey, which is proposed for December this year?
Yes, they're intending using possibly unmanned blimps to do surveys, the aeromagnetic surveys.
Okay, look, the AGL Gloucester team have been working hard to listen to and respond to community concerns and issues. That's the first time that particular issue has been raised with me. But again, I'm happy to take it on board, Bruce, and come back to you with a response from the Gloucester team.
Well, it's just more the idea of the time frame, that you're only giving a few days' notice, when even to get to speak to you today, I've actually had to arrange this 5 days, nearly 6 days in advance, just for a 10-minute interview rather than something quite so drastic. Well, drastic, it might not be so drastic for some people, but for people to arrange themselves, they need time.
Sure. So, as I said, look, I'm happy to check up with the Gloucester team and team and where the AeroMag survey is, but I was certainly under the understanding that we're giving people more than 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, okay. Well, that'd be great. David, are you surprised that there's no action apparently being taken at the start-up of the Walk Ivory project again? There hasn't been any protesters down there at the site?
Well, I can say on that issue is that AGL agreed some 11 months ago to defer our drilling operations pending the outcome of a couple of matters, one of which was the independent peer review of the hydrogeological studies. The second was the outcome of the Land and Environment Court case. So, AGL has fulfilled its commitments in that regard and now wishes and proposes to get on with the exploration program that is much needed in gathering further information, particularly hydrogeological information in the area.
David, look, the community has been asking from quite some time for a full hydrological survey of the whole project, and AGL still has not provided that and seems insistent on not going ahead to provide that. Is there a reason why you won't go ahead and look at the whole project as a project?
What I can tell you about that particular issue is that, as I said earlier, the environmental studies, including groundwater and hydrogeology on this the Gloucester Gas Project, have been ongoing now for over 5 years. Those studies have been assessed by a number of New South Wales government agencies. They've been independently peer-reviewed now by an independent peer reviewer. We have they've been assessed and approved by the New South Wales Planning Assessment Commission, as well as being further scrutinised through the Land and Environment Court. Whilst there are always a multitude of opinions and viewpoints on any significant project, after 5 years of fairly exhaustive studies, including groundwater and hydrogeology, it's important that I think we're able to get on with developing this project for the people of New South Wales.
Yes, it is important to get on with it, but to go off, half-cocked, so to speak. Look, just sorry if I can get just one more thing, David, and this is a very important one. What emergency procedures are in place and what training has been done for the emergency services up here in Gloucester?
Look, that's an important question, and emergency response is an important part of anything that we do in making sure that people are safe. However, we really don't envisage that any greater strain will be put on any local services if a similar incident in other parts of the community would occur. Look, we have an AGL employee on the local emergency management committee, and he's been providing regular and ongoing updates to that committee to make sure that everyone is fully informed of what we are doing and where we are doing it. Look, AGL has also been a proud supporter of the Westpac Rescue Helicopter, and for the last 5 or 6 years we've sponsored the annual dinner, so we are very supportive of that, and we recognise the important contribution that provides to the local community.
Gloucester's been supporting their helicopter for many, many years, David, so it's great to have you on board to support such a great thing. In fact, we've got the Pioneer Fish Farm coming up the weekend after, and they've been raising money for the helicopter support there for the Westpac helicopter as well. And they raised, I think it was in the tune of $4,000 in one day last year at the Fishathon, and there was quite a number of fish caught at that. Is AGL having a team in the Fishathon this year? Well, it is, and that sort of money from a little tiny mob like the fish farm and the people who go along to support that day, it's real good to see.
That's great.
Well, David, thank you very much for your time today, and I do hope to be able to contact you again to get some more updates on this, and it's been a pleasure having you on today.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Bruce, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Okay, thank you. That was David Kelly from AGL, and you listen to Buckets Radio 104.1 FM. This is The Environment Show with Bruce.